Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, January 21st, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi. Here are our top stories this evening. ZANU-PF political commissar Xavier Kasukwere tells villagers that his party is capable of pinpointing voting patterns in elections. Teachers attack government for saying bonuses are not a top priority in Zimbabwe.
We don't mind where the government is this man, even if that is borrowed from patterns. What we want is we want the bonus that was promised to us so that we can also feed our families and also send our children to school.
One of the young women who helped in outlawing child marriages is happy about the outcome of the case.
About the judgment yesterday, I feel excited because I've been waiting for this moment. Because last year we went to the court and we told them our story, but they were just saying they were criticizing us.
And advanced level results are out and ready for collection with a total pass rate of 76%.
On a glance, they look good because on average the pass rate is around 76%. But as educationists, we know that these people could have performed better.
ZANU-PF political commissar Xavier Kasukwere kick-started his party's parliamentary by-election campaign in Mondoro Mubaira, Mashonaland province by allegedly intimidating voters. He told party supporters today that voting is ward-based, therefore the party will know how people will be casting their votes. The seat fell vacant following the sidelining of ZANU-PF lawmaker Sylvester Nguni for allegedly aligning himself with senior party members who were said to be attempting to topple President Robert Mugabe. Kasukwere blasted former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, former lawmaker Nguni, and Didmus Mutasa for deviating from the values of ZANU-PF. The election will be held soon in the province. Teachers have attacked Labour Minister Priska Mufumira for saying bonuses are not a top priority in Zimbabwe. They say such remarks are not necessary at a time the government is failing to pay workers 2015 bonuses. The government promised last year to stagger the payment of bonuses after Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa withdrew a statement that the state was not in a position to pay bonuses due to financial constraints. President Mugabe rebuked the minister for making these remarks, saying he did that without consulting the executive and other arms of the government. Minister Mufumira was quoted by the Daily News as saying bonuses were not a priority because people in the country are currently starving due to drought and other issues. She was not available today for comment as her phone went unanswered. But Takabafira Joe, president of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, tells Studio 7 Skips Dube such remarks are disturbing.
I think that's the ludicrous hallucination because the president of the country was very clear that the bonus has become a right to Zimbabwean civil servants who are poorly paid. For the government now to change posts, I think that's unnecessary. The teachers are civil servants. Are waiting to be paid bonuses. The quickest thing the Minister of Public Service, Labour, Joseph must do is to come up with a clear cut time frame so that the workers can at least work properly, their families could also get something, teachers, children, or dependents can also go back to school because we cannot accept a situation where we are teaching other people's children. And we are not able also to send our children to better schools, particularly boarding, because we have budgeted on the bonus that is not for the country.
But the government is saying that they don't have money. So where are they going to get the money from, Mr. Ajo?
That's madness. They have lots and lots of money. Remember, they are raising lots of money from President Mugabe's birthday. There are so many ministries. For example, we have four ministries in the Ministry of Education. We don't need all those ministries. We have so many ministers and deputy ministers. We don't need all those. And the earlier we trim our government ministers, the better. And at any rate, we don't mind where the government is. This man, even if that is borrowed from Satan. What we want is we want the bonus that was promised to us so that we can also feed our families, we can also send our children to school.
What is going to happen if the government fails to pay the bonuses?
It's not an issue of bonus per se. We have lots of terrorists from public services who are running the schools. And the civil servants, I think the clouds are gathering. And when you see clouds are gathering, you are certain that it's going to be rain. And someone is going to get wet. And surely we are going there.
What exactly do you mean?
It is a right. We should fight for our rights. And no one here would fight this war for us. Prepare to fight this war until we get the bonuses. And teachers are scared because of other things, including the bonuses. And therefore, that gathering momentum anger, the pent-up forces, would rise one day. Because the government is daily insulting us, is urinating upon us, and telling us it's raining. Kinamasa and the local other ministers, Jonathan Moy, and I'm ready that other humans that we're seeing presently seem now to be seen from the same humans with us, that it is only the unity of teachers, the unity of civil servants that can stop the madness that is in the Ministry of Public Service, Labor and Social Welfare.
Now tell us a bit about the case that you're taking to court. What is it all about?
We already filed our papers today. The issue is on the issue of the recall of teachers who are on leave and also the cancellation of leave. And we once took the government to court in 2010. They did this during the inclusive government in 2010. And the government law in 2011.
And that was Takaba Firajo, president of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Advanced level results for candidates who set last November are out and ready for collection with a total pass rate of 76%. The Zimbabwe School Examination Council announced today that school candidates who passed two or more subjects with a grade E or better totaled 87.6%, while private candidates totaled 63.7%. Last year, the pass rate among school candidates was 82.61%, while that of private candidates was 57%, which marks a dramatic increase between the two categories. Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe official Vusumuzi Matlangu tells Studio 7 they are pleased with the results, but adds it could have been much better.
We have received the A-level results for 2015. On a glance, they look good because on average, the pass rate is around 76%. But as educationists, we know that these people could have performed better had the educators or teachers been remunerated well and the learning conducive if they were improved. We know that they could have performed very well, more than what we see at the moment.
In Zimbabwe, an E at A level is a pass, but that's being queried by many people who feel that, that should be a fail. What do you think?
Yes, but it's true to a larger extent, because if you realize, you'll find that a student who scores an E is at a disadvantage when it comes to competition for university vacancies and employment opportunities, because if a student has got an E and is being is competing with a student who scored a C or better, you'll find that naturally someone will take a student who has a better pass. So yes, it is a pass according to ZIMSEC standards, but it's not a good pass.
And that was a Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe official Vusumuzi Mahlangu. Two young women who challenged the constitutionality of child marriages in the Constitutional Court and won the case are happy that this will ensure that children can now live without fear of being dragged into unwanted marriages. Our correspondent caught up with one of the young women, Rubimbo Tsopodzi, who were represented by attorney Tendai Biti.
Tsopodzi said she's happy that the Constitutional Court outlawed early child marriages, which had become common in Zimbabwe. Tsopodzi, who got married at a tender age and will soon be turning 20, said she hopes the judgment will change the lives of young women in Zimbabwe and protect the girl child by preserving their sexual reproductive health.
About the judgment yesterday, I feel excited because I've been waiting for this moment. Because last year we went to the court and we told them our story, but they were just saying, they were criticizing us because they were saying, these girls, they did it for themselves. Why should they report this to our law, to the court? But I'm glad that they put their heads together and come out with one good law for the young girls, because they know that the law says they should be married at the age of 18.
A Harare resident, Tawanda Sibanda, said it was a shame that the state contested the matter instead of just conceding that anyone under the age of 18 is too young to get married.
This is a welcome judgment, given the fact that it advances the rights of children as defined in the Constitution. However, there are certain issues which I think are the defendants, being the Minister of Legal and Parliamentary Affairs, who is also charged with aligning the laws to the Constitution. I think he was not supposed to take this matter in the first instance, defending it before the Constitutional Court, on the basis that he is the very person who is charged or mandated to align the laws to the Constitution.
Sibanda further said the government should just align relevant laws to the new constitution in order to enforce the court ruling.
The defendants should not have defended this matter in the first place. So at the end, what it means is the minister responsible for legal and parliamentary affairs, Minister of Justice, he is not willing, or should we say he does not have the will, be it political or otherwise, to align the laws with the different statutes are with the Constitution.
Tsungai Mutongwizo, another Harare resident, also applauded the judgment and said some women were afraid of raising girl children because of forced marriages.
We welcome this as mothers of girls. Zimbabwe was becoming a place that we were scared of raising young children, of raising girls, wondering who would protect them. In terms of the new Constitution, this is a giant step for the country, the judicial system, in making rights justiciable, protecting the rights of vulnerable people. Young girls are vulnerable and need the protection of the law. This is equal protection of the law.
The Constitutional Court on Wednesday ruled that no child in Zimbabwe should marry or get married before attaining the age of 18. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
Thank you, Patricia. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington, and we are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com, and you can text us at 001-202-465-0318. And coming up, Zimbabwean villagers unhappy over President Mugabe's planned lavish birthday party.
Actually, I think the president must do something with that money. They must buy maize from outside of the country and feed the Zimbabweans.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news. U.S. Defense Chief Ash Carter said today that the 200 American commandos now in Iraq and Syria are carrying out raids on Islamic State targets, killing or capturing them wherever we find them, quote. A United Nations Security Council delegation arrived in Burundi today with a message for the government and opposition to start substantive dialogue and avert catastrophe before it's too late. And Pakistan observed a day of mourning today following a gun and bomb attack on a university that killed 21 people and wounded dozens more. Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif declared the mourning period to show solidarity with those who died when a group of four terrorists stormed the Bakar Khan University in the town of Chasada on Wednesday. Some Harare residents say they are not happy the local authorities moved to demolish so-called illegal housing structures in low-density suburbs. The council has been demolishing such structures in high-density suburbs a couple of years after it carried out the now infamous Operation Murambatswina that displaced more than 700,000 people in Zimbabwe. Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye speaks with Regina Bukaru of the Harare Residents Trust about the pending demolitions.
The issue for the demolitions going on currently in Harare, this is being unfair. But if you can look at females and children that are being abused, they have the right to property, they have the right to accommodation. But the way it is being done is leaving these people outside without accommodation. And most of them, not even you know where to go and the next step to take.
So have you engaged the council to make sure that you are able to get the right information of what people, especially women, should do if they are faced with such a predicament as demolitions?
From the council side, they have nothing to offer. What they think, these people, they settle themselves on illegal land. Most of the land is private land. And some settled on school sites. So council has nothing to say about it.
But council is now calling on those who built their houses without using approved plans by the council to come and regularize their plans. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's a good move. For example, here I can tell you, Mount Pleasant Heights, those people bought those things for 50,000. 50,000 is not a joke in Zimbabwe. It's not a joke. So if someone can afford that 50,000 and they put their mansions there and demolishing them would be not safe.
That was Regina Bukaru of the Harare Residents Trust speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Most villagers in the drought-prone Maswingo province, where the ruling party is planning to hold a lavish $800,000 birthday bash for President Robert Mugabe next month, say they are living from hand to mouth due to the current dry spell. The majority claim that they are now surviving on eating wild fruit in a region where about 5,000 cattle have died as a result of lack of pastures and state-assisted stock feed. As our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports, villagers are fuming that ZANU-PF is planning to throw a birthday bash for the president when most of them can't have a decent meal per day.
Baobab fruit porridge, tree roots, and related wild pickings are currently saving the lives of people in Maswingo province, where the current dry spell has reduced fields into dust barrels. The dry spell appears to be fueled by the El Nino weather phenomenon that has brought a lot of heat in the region, widely known for producing top-grade sugarcane, ethanol, and other related products. Although all the dry spell is visible, and government is said to resettle over 20,000 people who were displaced by floods near Tokwe Mkosi Dam 2 years ago. There is a lot happening in Masvingo province, with a population of about 1.5 million, half of them being threatened by the dry spell. Meetings are being held behind closed doors, where some top ZANU-PF officials are planning to throw a birthday party for President Mugabe, who turns 92 on February 21st. This has drawn the ire of local people, who say ZANU-PF leaders are cold-hearted, as they will be holding an event that is said to cost about 800,000. One of the irate local inhabitants is Prosper Tiringindi.
To me, it doesn't make sense, because if I look right now, the current situation that we have in Zimbabwe, actually we are facing a series of drought. Actually, I think the president must do something with that money. They must buy maize from outside of the country and feed the Zimbabweans, rather than to enjoy any day. Yes, of course, we can celebrate flamboyant birthday, but actually the citizens are suffering.
Another local villager, Mugove Makonesi, says the lavish birthday is not a new thing, as the president has been doing this for almost 3 decades.
Mugabe is well known the world over for being a very insensitive leader. This is the time that they should be mobilizing resources to save the lives of the people of Zimbabwe, and particularly the people of Masvingo province, who are perennially hunger and drought ravaged. This insensitivity is nothing surprising. But one of the reasons maybe why he's so insensitive it is because there are so many gatekeepers around him. Probably he's being given the wrong impression, because if my experience of going out in the rural areas is anything to go by, there is terrible, terrible hunger out there. And I find it to be extremely in bad taste for a president to spend that much for a useless function like his. He is a whole president who is celebrating the twilight of his life at the expense of those young people in the province who are dying of hunger.
Villagers say the ruling party, which has been in power for more than 35 years, should dump the birthday bash and start looking into the needs of all communities. Pilani Moyo, a Mwenezi district villager who is into cattle farming, says President Mugabe and his party should use the funds raised for the birthday party to buy fodder for millions of livestock.
It is very painful. We had asked for assistance from the government to restock our cattle and to buy cattle feed, but till today, there is no response. We are very, very sad that our government is using a lot of money for just one day for a bash, for one person to enjoy, whilst our families are suffering and our cattle are dying.
But ZANU-PF birthday party organizing committee member JP Jabun has strongly defended plans for throwing a lavish birthday party for the president, saying Mr. Mugabe deserves to be honored in such a big way. Chabunu, who is the ZANU-PF member of parliament for Bigita South, says preparations for the bash are at an advanced stage. This is not going down well with Zimbabwe's opposition parties. Murangano Chanyao, regional chairperson of the Movement for Democratic Change, MDC, led by Morgan Tsvangirai, believes that ZANU-PF has misplaced priorities.
As Masvingo Urban MDCT, we really condemn that bash with the conduct that it deserves. How can they afford to have that bash when over 500,000 people are facing starvation? Rather than holding that bash, it would be rather better to channel those funds to the starving people in Masvingo province.
This is not the first time that people in Zimbabwe have been grumbling over the splashing of huge amounts of money for hosting the president and the first family's birthday gigs. Last year, Zimbabweans were infuriated when at least 3 million was spent for a lavish 50th birthday party for Mr. Mugabe's wife, Grace. Reporting in Masvingo for Studio 7, this is Gandhi Maramba.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Iraq suffered one of its deadliest days in recent memory, when at least 51 people lost their lives in a series of terrorist attacks in Baghdad and two other towns on January 11th. ISIL has claimed responsibility. At least 18 people were killed and 50 wounded in an assault on Jawar Mall in the predominantly Shia Muslim Al-Jadida district in Baghdad. According to Iraqi officials, a group of gunmen broke into the mall after detonating a car bomb and carrying out a suicide attack at the entrance. Several attackers were reportedly killed and four were arrested. On the same day, at least 23 people were killed and some 50 injured in two bombings in the Iraqi town of Muqtadiya, 80 kilometers northeast of Baghdad. The first was a suicide attack inside a casino. The second consisted of a car bomb detonated on the street during rush hour. The United States condemns the barbaric acts of terrorism committed in Iraq, for which ISIL has claimed responsibility. These attacks once again display the utter disregard ISIL has for the lives of innocent civilians. The United States stands united with the people of Iraq as they confront the scourge of violent extremism. In recent weeks, Iraqi forces, with American support, pushed ISIL out of the key city of Ramadi, the capital of Iraq's Anbar province. It is the biggest population center to date that the terrorist group has lost control of. The United States remains committed to working with Prime Minister al-Abadi, the Iraqi security forces, and the coalition partners to support Iraqi-led efforts to degrade and destroy ISIL.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts of the Women's Forum, Praxedis Jeremiah and Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, will be talking with listeners and experts about threats by the Harare City Council to demolish illegal housing structures. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318. The number again, 001-202-465-0318, so we can call you right back from our studios. That there is the music of Thomas Mukanya, Hurricane Hugo Mafumo, and the song is called Mamvemve, bringing us to our show to an end. But before we go, a quick recap of today's top stories. ZANU-PF political commissar tells villagers that his party is capable of pinpointing voting patterns in elections. Teachers attack government for saying bonuses are not a top priority in Zimbabwe. And one of the women who helped in outlawing child marriages says she's happy about the outcome of the case. That's all for tonight. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington. Good night, Zimbabwe.